Scripture reading this morning is from Jeremiah 29, verses 10 to 13. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This is the word of God.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Adriana Shallcross, and I'm the Director of Education at the Walter Hoving Home. And so I just want to start by telling you thank you for allowing us to be part of your service here in this beautiful sanctuary. I just want to tell you a little bit about the Walter Hoving Home. We are a Christian discipleship home for women that have led a destructive lifestyle of drugs, alcohol, or been in and out of prison, and just has just been destructive in every area of their life. And some of the ladies have come to the home and they don't know the Lord. They've never read the Bible. And then there's some ladies that know the Lord and have fallen back. But what we do at the Walter Hoving Home is that we show the ladies the cross. We show them who Christ is and how they can receive Christ into their life and make a transformation. So they come to have this transformation at the Walter Hoving Home. It's almost like a mini Bible college there for the ladies. They're in school most of the day. So let me backtrack a little and tell you, we are a six-month or a year home, a residential home for these ladies. And for the whole time that they're in school and they are learning the Word of God so they can get the transformation into their lives and get really rooted in God's Word through Jesus Christ. And the only way they can do that is by being filled with the Word of God. So in our home, the ladies are not allowed to listen to any secular music. They're not allowed to watch any TV. And there is no curriculum or any books allowed in the home that are not faith-based and Christ-centered. Because we know that as we're filling in with everything that is the Word of God, that there's nothing that can come in, and that when we get attacked by the enemy, we have the Word of God in us so that we can fight the battle, so that these ladies can get really rooted and grounded in God's Word, so that when they do go out, that the world is going to come to them, because we live in the world and we can't escape that. But then they can have the armor of God on and they don't have to live that lifestyle anymore. And we know that the world says that, society says that these women are going to go back to prison or jail. And some of them been in prison, some of them been in jail, some of them never been in jail. But they've lived this destructive lifestyle and they've been in a cycle where they couldn't get out. And so we know that society will say that they will always be a failure, but because they have Jesus in their heart, these ladies receive Jesus in their heart, and who lives in them? Jesus lives in them. And who's greater is he who is in him than who is in the world. So this is what we gear towards the ladies at the Walter Hoving Home. The founders are John and Elsie Benton. We started this ministry in 1967. We branched off from Teen Challenge with Dave Wilkerson. Dave Wilkerson talked to John Benton and said, maybe you should start a women's home. So they did in upstate Garrison, New York in 1967. We have a 23-acre estate. They house 75 women there. Then we came to California in 1984, and we could only house 15 women. But now we can house 53 women in California, Pasadena. And then we opened a home in 2006 in Las Vegas. There they house 10 women. But we know that the seed was planted in John and Elsie's heart, and the vision was given to them to start this ministry for broken women that need Jesus in their lives. And so the ladies in the home, they are in school all day, And they also have different job assignments throughout the home, so they pretty much run the home. And so again, where the world and society would say that they would never amount to anything, they gain their confidence through Christ. They start learning about the gifts that they have and the talents that they have that they never knew. And they also go ahead and step into areas that they never felt comfortable with and know that the only one that can walk them through and can guide them is Christ, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so this is what we teach the ladies, so that they can get a strong foundation in Christ, so that they can go back out in society and be productive. And so then when they finish the whole year program, John and Elsie Benton, the founders, have found that it's best that they continue living there, and they're in what is called the Completers Program. There they can go to school, they can have work part-time. Some ladies have college degrees. Some ladies never made it through grade school. So some ladies may go back into the field that they were in, or maybe the Lord's called them somewhere else. And then some ladies will get the skills that they need after they complete going to school and working part-time. But we don't have a cutoff time when they have to move out. Their needs are met at the Walter Hoving home. It is a nonprofit. We are nonprofit because we don't want to take God out. We want God to be the center of our home. So we are open doors by private donations and people who give to the home to keep our doors open. It is a $500 entry fee and $500 thereafter for these ladies to be there. It almost costs $1,800 a month to house a lady. But we know that God will supply all our needs, and he has so far, and he's been so faithful that we won't turn a lady away if she doesn't have the finances to be there, because we know that the power, again, of Jesus, and because of his blood, these ladies' lives are more important, and what they are going to live after Christ is more important, and their eternal life. That's what it is eternity with Christ. And so they believe that just when the ladies are ready to move on and move out, then they go ahead and move on. Some ladies have gone to Bible college, and they get so prepared. We know the renewing of our mind through the Word of God, because some ladies will come and say, well, I can't memorize scripture, because the ladies have to memorize three scriptures, well, a scripture a week. So it's like one scripture a week, and they have to apply it, meaning their first scripture is Luke 1:37. They have to read the whole chapter of Luke, write an observation of that chapter, pick three scriptures that stood out to them. Then they have to write the scripture out the way it's written in the Bible, and they have to recite it the way it's written in the Bible. Exactly. No, it has to be 100. You can't. Everything you have to pass. And sometimes the ladies say, I can't do that. How can I make 100? I'm going to fail. But again, because of the power of Jesus, they all make it. Nobody fails. They memorize scriptures. And let me tell you, the scriptures get longer. When they get to Romans 12:1-2, therefore, brethren, they are like, that's too long. But again, they do it. And then when they see the things that they can do because of the power of Jesus living in them, it's amazing. Because then they're glowing from the first time they came in. You can see the difference of the glow that they have. And that's because of Jesus and the Word of God being poured into them, that they're pouring into themselves, and that they're receiving. And like that song says, and they're surrendering. You know, it's not easy all the time for the ladies. They don't, you know, they have their struggles. But the one thing is that it's amazing to see what the Lord does in their lives. But I want to thank you again for allowing us to be here. Again, I really want to stress how these ladies, the schoolwork that they do in the Learning Center, they have to write book reports, like college reports, but it's not a college report. It's what God's doing in their life. By the time they finish the year program, they've gone through the whole Bible, and they've done observation of each chapter in the Bible. So it's amazing. They're in a place where they can receive everything that Christ has for them so they can walk out in a strong foundation, because they need to be really rooted and grounded in God's word, like in Jeremiah says, because when the drought comes in Jeremiah 17:7, it says, but then they won't be pulled up because they're going to be watered. And they have to learn to do their devotions. They have devotions in the morning, and they have devotions in the evening. We have a quiet time in the dining room. So our home is very structured. But it helps the ladies so that when they leave also, they have structure, because a lot of us, we didn't have structure in our lives. So again, I want to thank you for allowing us to be here. If you have any questions after the service, please feel free to come and ask me, and I'll be very happy to answer anything you have to say. Thank you so much. And then I'm going to call the choir up. We are Sounds of Joy. And one thing I have to tell you is the ladies don't know they're going to be in a choir. And they'll say, I can't sing. And I'll tell them, yep, that's true. Neither can I. But when we're singing praises to the Lord, the angels are rejoicing. And so they sound like angels. And so now that they're going to come up and they're going to give you some testimonies and some songs. Thank you again.
Good morning, church. Hi, my name is Lauren. I'm 26 years old, and I'm from East Brunswick, New Jersey. Jersey. She's Jersey, too. Growing up, my parents both partied a lot. My dad was a biker. My mom was a hippie, so drugs and alcohol were never foreign to me. I started drinking when I was about 10 years old, smoking cigarettes, smoking marijuana. That led me into a very destructive lifestyle of partying. Pretty much from there on out, I partied up until, obviously when I came to the home. But I had a long line of addiction. From there, I met my ex-husband when I was 19. And he was on heroin, and I didn't know anything about drugs or anything. And he was very abusive. He was very physically abusive, emotionally abusive, just any which way possible that you could imagine. We fought a lot. It was a very toxic relationship. When I had my son, I decided to leave him because I didn't want that lifestyle anymore. I started taking prescription pills to numb a back problem that I had, and that led me into heroin addiction. I signed custody of my son over. I didn't want to live anymore. I woke up every day just trying to kill myself. I had no hope. I didn't know the Lord. And when I started using the needle, I became a prostitute, and it was the same thing, just very suicidal thoughts. I overdosed one night, and my father found me in my room, and he was crying over me, and he begged me to get help. So I went and I went to a detox in New Jersey, and I found out about the Walter Hoving home for the second time. And I knew that if God was real, that this was probably a sign that I had to do something with my life. I came to the home April 10th, 2012, and I fell in love with the Lord. I met the Holy Spirit for the first time. It was so supernatural and amazing that I can't even describe it to you. It changed my life. I completed the program. I did the completers program. It was awesome. But I moved back to New Jersey, and I started living a life without the Lord. I kind of just shut my Bible and started doing my own thing. I didn't really touch on everything I should have when I was at the home in the program the first time. And at the end of the year that I was back in Jersey, I had a needle in my arm again. I was doing, you know, drinking, smoking all over again, suicidal thoughts. But the one thing that I did know was that God was real, and that, you know, Jesus does save, and that he didn't want me living my life this way. So almost 6 months ago, I came back to the home for the restoration program. I'm done in like 2 weeks. And since I've been there again, it's just completely changed my life. I know that I don't have to carry shame and guilt and anger. I have a relationship with Jesus that I always had, but now I have a relationship with God too. And it's awesome because I totally trust the Lord now. And I know that the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I can't go on feelings and Lauren's time and my own understanding, you know. And I went back to my first love when I came back, when I flew out here again. And my future plans are to just serve the Lord and be a mom and do the completers program and just kind of just waiting on God right now. So pray for me, you know, just keep me in your prayers. I'm just waiting for an answer on some stuff. So the verse I leave you with is 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank you.
Hello, church. My name is Namali. I'm originally from Sri Lanka. And, my story is that I was born a Buddhist, and but Jesus has always been in my life. And when I was growing up, we left Sri Lanka when I was about 4 or 5 and went to London, and we lived in London until I was 11. Then I came to America. So I've been moving around a lot. And when I was 17, I met my future husband, but he was into heroin, and he's my ex-husband now, but we had a very turbulent relationship. I loved him a lot, but it didn't work out. And in 2001, when 9/11 happened, we had separated, and I went back to Sri Lanka just to just to get away and just to recover, really. And I had a motorcycle accident. And then when I was coming back to the hotel, I called my husband, and it turned out that 9/11 had happened. And from then on, it just seemed like everything went down. My life just collapsed. I lost my husband. I lost everything. And then for 14 years, I've just been trying to figure my life out, really. And I got into drinking and pretty much destroyed every relationship that I had with my family, with my friends, and I lost all my money. I lost my job. And finally, I was a teacher in China, and I was teaching English, but I was drinking also heavily, and so I got fired, and I hadn't eaten or slept for 4 or 5 days, and I got on the plane and back to LA because I lost my job. And on the plane, I had a panic attack, which lasted for about 9 hours because I was in this little tin can up in the air, and I had a panic attack, and it was very bad. And there was nothing, no drinks or anything, and I was really panicking. And finally, when I got off the plane, I was sitting waiting to be picked up. And I swear that God spoke to me at that moment, and he said, well, I put you up there on this tin can so that you would realize that I've been letting you get away with it all this time, but I wanted you to know that I am good, but I can be very bad too. So it's up to you. Either you follow me or you don't. And luckily for me, I was calling around trying to find a place, and I called the Walter Irving Home, and they accepted me immediately. And I've been in the Walter Irving Home for 4.5 months. I have not had a drink. I have not even wanted to drink. And I have learned about Jesus, and I am now a Christian, and I believe very much in Jesus. And I don't feel alone anymore. That's the biggest thing. I know that God is with me. My future plans are to stay sober and to just continue learning more and more about Jesus. And I don't really know what kind of job I want to do, but I'll figure that out in time. The verse I want to leave you is John 16:33. These things I've written down in my... These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, that in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, good morning, church. My name is Sally, and I am 36 years old, and I am the middle child, and I have two beautiful children. At the age of a year and a half years old, the root of rejection entered into my life, and my mom had been married for 10 years to my biological father and had three children. And one day, my dad decided that he no longer wanted to be in the relationship with my mother and us kids, and he drove us to my grandmother's, and he didn't come back. And so I would say that at that moment, that's when the rejection had hit me, and I always felt a sense of not really belonging and not really fitting in. But by the grace of God, my mom remarried to a wonderful man, and he raised us. And I was introduced to the Lord at the age of 14, but that was also a time where I didn't have a solid foundation with him, and so I was young, and I went the other route, which would be living a fun, outgoing lifestyle of just partying and graduating high school and not realizing that those habits would overtake me as an adult. But I ended up being a drug addict by the time I was 19. I had picked up methamphetamines. But God is good because I didn't really struggle too long with the meth, but I became pregnant with my first child. And at the same time, I was also told that my stepfather had been diagnosed with cancer, and he was given a year to live. And so not knowing how to really understand what was happening, being given the wonderful gift of bringing life into the world, I was also told that somebody that I loved was going to not be no longer with us. And by the grace of God, in 2001, I gave birth to my first child, and my dad, he was good. And then over the years, the next couple years, he would need to have a caretaker. And so I, of course, stepped up, not realizing what I would get myself into. But watching my dad slowly deteriorate and die, it was a five-year process, and I didn't know how to deal with that. And so in that time, I picked up methamphetamines, and I lost myself in that time as well. And in 2004, I found myself in a really dark place. I had become pregnant with my second child, and I never told anybody. I hid a pregnancy, and that was out of fear of thinking that who was going to take care of my dad, because he needed me. He had become physically unable to do things on his own and was blind at this point. And so I thought, well, I'll just have the baby and give the baby up for adoption, and everything will be fine on the weekend or something like that. But that's not how it happened. I ended up giving birth to my second child in March of 2004. And God is so good, because I never went to jail for that. But both of my children were removed from my custody. And I found myself not only removed from my children's custody, but I also was removed from the home and could no longer take care of my dad. And so I lost myself, my two children, and my father at that time. And in 2005, my dad passed away, and I lost custody of both of my children. And so I would spend the next 5 years after that totally down a dark and lonely spiral of just depression and drugs. And in 2010, I had hit a rock bottom, and my brother had told me about the Walter Hoving Home, because the choir had went to his church to sing. And so I am a product of the choir. And so when 2010, when I walked into those doors, my heart was just like, it was like literally walking in from darkness to light, and the love that you feel and the sisterhood, and you just immediately feel like accepted. And I thought, thank you, Jesus, because this is like amazing. Even though I didn't really fully know what surrendering was at that time, I knew that God had a plan for me. And unfortunately, I mean, by the grace of God, I fell in love with him in our learning center, and that is our heart of the program. But I only did the six-month program. And now that I know, when you do 6 months, that's only God removing everything that was keeping you bound. I wasn't filled up, and I left empty. And when I left, it would be another 5 years that my addiction would go a little further, and I became that dark suicidal thought person. And I knew that if I took my life, I wouldn't go to heaven, and I want more than anything to not be that person. And so once again, in January of this year, I walked into the Walter Hoving home, fully surrendered, fully knowing that God is in full control, fully accepting the things that I cannot change. And because of my obedience to listening to his voice, he's restored the relationship with my biological father. I have a relationship with my family, my son's in my life, my daughter's in awesome hands with her adoptive parents. And, you know, God has just been moving mountains that I didn't even know that were possible to be removed. As long as I step out of myself and let God take full control, and that's what the home's teaching me, to stand in God's will so that he may be exalted. It has nothing to do with what I'm doing. It's just what the Lord has for us. And I'm the choir coordinator, so that's awesome. That's a pair of shoes I'm walking in. I've never done that before. But, you know, the Learning Center is a place where we fall in love with God, and he helps us to take out that yuck, those things that have kept us bound. And so I'm learning how to surrender, and as I recognize them, I call them out for what they are, and I took myself out of my own timetable, and so I'm just trusting that the Lord will do a mighty work in my life as long as I surrender, and that's where I'm at today. My future plans are to stay in his will, stay in the home, and just wait for him to open the doors that I don't need to be opening. And so the verse that I stand on is Isaiah 45:2-3. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you treasures out of darkness, hidden riches of secret places, so that you may know I, the Lord, God of Israel, has summoned you by name. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Hello, my name is Megan. I'm 29 years old, and I am originally from a very, very small town in New Hampshire. I grew up in a Baptist family, a Christian family, and I was homeschooled so that I could be very involved in church and have a Christian upbringing. And so I've known the Lord from when I was very young. As I was growing up, I always knew that I wanted to go to college. So I, when I was 17, I moved to California to attend college. I went to Azusa Pacific University, and which was a wonderful experience. And while I was there, I had the opportunity to meet a wonderful man who I began dating, and we were together for 5 years. And during that time, I just was so extremely happy. I was enjoying college, and I was just very happy. We had a great relationship, and my family loved him and accepted him, and I just had so many big dreams for my life. While him and I were together, I graduated college in 2008 and began working in my field, which was in the hospitality industry. I was working for the hotels doing event planning and wedding planning, and during that time, I began planning my own wedding. We were engaged, and I thought that my whole life was just planned out before me. I had, you know, pictured the kids and the fence, the picket fence, and the house and everything. And in 2009, I got a call that he had been in a motorcycle accident on the freeway in LA. And so I went to the hospital immediately to see him. And by that time, he was already unconscious, and the doctors told me that there wasn't anything that they were going to be able to do, and 10 hours later, he died in my arms, and it just really devastated my world. Everything that I had planned for my life was just gone in an instant, and I really didn't know how to handle that at all. I didn't want to accept any kind of comfort from anyone, any friends or family. I got sympathy cards and flowers in the mail and threw them all away without opening them or looking at them. I just wanted to be numb. I just wanted to stay numb. I didn't. I just didn't know how to handle it. And one thing that I turned away from during that time was the Lord. I didn't understand why that had happened. I didn't see any reason for why God would have done that to me. I felt like it was unfair, and so I turned away from the Lord and everything that I knew. And in order to continue on and to cope, I began drinking so that I could remain numb, and I didn't really want to think about how sad I was or how lonely I was or anything, but I knew that I had to keep working and continue on with life, so I just began drinking. And at first it was, I'm just going to drink so that I can sleep at night, and I'm just going to drink so that I can get through, you know, the day. And then before I knew it, it was completely controlling my life. I was drinking all day, every day, still going to work, but not really living my life the way that I should at all. And it really became destructive. I lost friendships and relationships. I was, you know, lost pretty much all contact with my family. I started losing jobs. And then before I knew it, I was in and out of jail. And by the last time, in the last 5 years, I've been in jail 5 different times. And by this last time that I was in jail, I was told that, you know, this isn't who you are, this isn't the life that you're meant to live, you don't belong in jail, but you need to get help. So I began looking for programs, and a lady that was in jail had a brochure for the Walter Hoving Home, and she said, oh, you should go there, it's fancy, they have an elevator. So that wasn't part of my deciding factor, but I did call and got accepted. So I've been in the home now for almost 6 months. Thursday will be 6 months. And I've really just changed so much since I've been there. I've been able to open my heart again, which I had closed off. And so now I have friendships, and I'm working on my relationships with my family. And I the best thing about it is that I'm have my relationship back with Jesus again. And I'm able to accept the comfort that I needed all along was just the comfort from him, and I just had closed that off. And now I'm able to accept that. And I'm able to understand that his plans for me are greater than any of the plans that I had for myself. And so I'm just able to trust in him and know that that he does have an awesome future planned out for me, and I look forward to what he has in store for me. And my future plans are just to continue with the program and absorb as much learning and information as I can, and just spend every day getting closer to the Lord and see where that leads me. And the verse I leave you with is Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Thank you.
Good morning, church. My name is Brenda, and I'm 37 years old, and I have 6 children, and all from the ages of 25 to my smallest one being 10 years old. I'm married. I have a husband. We've been married for 19 years, and growing up, I come from a very strict family. My parents like having get-togethers, barbecues, and there was always alcohol involved. My dad was very, he liked to drink a lot, to the point that he would not be able to walk anymore. He would pass out in the bathroom. We couldn't get in to see him. And by the age of 8, I got sexually molested. So growing up, my junior high years, I started, I got introduced to smoking cigarettes, drinking alcohol, and every type of drug that was offered to me, I was doing it. By my high school year, that's when I became very rebellious with my parents. They were very strict with me, and I knew how to manipulate my dad. I chose the wrong path. They ended up taking me to San Diego Job Corps. There I got introduced to methamphetamine. And the moment that I tried that drug, I fell in love with it, and that caused me to be in and out of jail. My last prison term, when I got home, my husband tells me that he was diagnosed with kidney failure, so that just led me down to a point that I just wanted to depend on chemicals to numb my pain. And he would always ask me, when are you going to stop? And I would just tell him, till the wheels fell off, and then obviously they fell off now, because, I mean, I'm finishing my sentence here at the Walter Hoving Home, but honestly, I got blessed. I never had heard about this home, but I picked up a red book in jail, and I read it, And I called and I did my intake over the phone, and God blessed me with the opportunity to be able to come here and finish my sentence. As I walked into those doors of the Walter Hovind Home, I was fully surrendering my life to God. I learned how to get on my knees and pray. I give everything to God. I don't worry too much about what's going on out there. I know my husband has my children, and he's always in and out of the hospital, but I just learned how to surrender everything to God, and I know that he's faithful and he won't let anything happen to my husband. And my future plans are just to shut up and listen, and hopefully one day be able to minister to the youth so that they don't fall into the wrong paths that I fell into. And the verse that I leave you with is Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts to give you peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Thank you.
I just want to thank you guys so much. I know it's so amazing, and it takes so much courage for you guys to come out and to step into a new life and to come into this kind of place and sing for all of us and share your testimony. So you're the best. You know, it's really true that sometimes in our lives, you know, we think, man, if we're really going to make, if we're really going to be happy, if we're really going to thrive, if we're really going to live, we're going to have to allow for some changes in our lives, right? We're just going to have to allow for some changes. But when that change is led by the Holy Spirit, it's the right change. It's a good change, right? And it's a change that's going to feel an awful lot like returning, like being reclaimed, like going back to the person that we know we should have been all along, right? It's a recovery. It's a reclamation of who God wants us to be in His plan when the Holy Spirit is leading that change. How awesome it is that the Holy Spirit is leading that change in you and leading that change in all of us. In all of us. Now, our passage today talks a little bit about that time when the people of Israel, they'd made some bad choices. They'd made choices that led them to actually be invaded by another country and stolen out of their homes and taken to another place. They'd lost everything. They'd lost their livelihoods, their homes, their occupations. They lost their dreams. They lost their future. They lost their hope. They really believed. They really believed that they were ruined, that they were crushed. They believed that that road back to where they really belonged, to their home, that road was closed to them forever. They really believed that God had left them and had abandoned them. But they were wrong. They were wrong. They were wrong. God hadn't left them. God had a plan for them. He had a plan to prosper them. A plan to see them flourish. But they would need to seek out that God. They would need to reopen themselves up and embrace that plan, right? But when they did, when they sought Him with their whole hearts, they understood that God was going to make them a whole person again. And was going to restore them and lead them back to where they belong. Amen? This is what God does for every single one of us. What a great God we have. He brings us back. He restores us when we reach out to Him. They say that the soul of a person can become a lot like that thing after which he seeks. That thing that we love the most. If we love money the most in the pursuit of money, we're going to become brittle and we're going to become cold like cash. If we love fame and the spotlight, you know, we're going to become like a sponge, just self-absorbed and looking at ourselves all the time. We love power, lording over other people, going to become hard. But when we love God, when we seek after Him, we become like His Son. We become like Jesus over time, more and more, we become like Him. And that's when change really happens. The change that's led by the Holy Spirit. The change that is true and is good. The change that He has in mind for us in His plan. I thank you guys. I thank you for coming out today, for being such a great witness to all of us who are on this journey to become the person that God wants us to be in his plan. Amen? So thank you. Thank you so much. And now, as children of God,